Okay, this may sound a little silly. This is actually something that you don't know about me, but I love Narnia. You know, C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia. And while I'll be the first to say that there is some problematic language in some of the books, I just love those books. They really do communicate something very deep, something bigger than a story about children stumbling into another world. I saw a quote earlier today from Mahmud Darwish where he says, "If the olive trees knew the hands that planted them, their oil would become tears." And I thought about that. Amongst so much human suffering, nature also suffers, all parts of nature. And then this passage from The Last Battle, that's the last book in the series, came to my mind, and so much so that I actually got up and ran to find the book. And when I opened it, I came exactly to the page that I was looking for. And that's when I knew I needed to talk about this.
Yo no canto por cantar, ni por tener buena voz. Canto porque la guitarra tiene sentido y razón. Tiene corazón de tierra y alas de palomita. Es como el agua bendita, santigua glorias y penas. Aquí se encajó mi canto, como dijera Violeta. Guitarra trabajadora con olor a primavera. Que no es guitarra de rico, ni cosa que se parezca. Mi canto es de los andamios, para alcanzar las estrellas. Que el canto tiene sentido cuando palpiten las venas del que morirá cantando las verdades verdaderas, no las lisonjas fugaces ni las famas extranjeras, sino el canto de una lonja hasta el fondo de la tierra.
So now allow me to read that passage, the one that came into my mind and that I felt such an urgency to find. And when I opened the book, I came straight to that page. So allow me to read it now. Woe, 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 cried the voice. Woe for my brothers and sisters. Woe for the holy trees. The woods are laid to waste. The axe is loosed against us. We are being felled. Great trees are falling, falling, falling. With the last falling, the speaker came in sight. She was like a woman, but so tall that her head was on the level with the centaurs, yet she was like a tree, too. It was hard to explain if you have not seen a dryad, but it's quite unmistakable once you have, something different in the color, the voice, and the hair. King Tyrion and the two beasts knew at once that she was the nymph of a beech tree. "Justice, Lord King," she cried. "Come to our aid. Protect your people. They are felling us in lantern waste. 40 great trunks of my brothers and sisters are already on the ground." "What, lady, felling lantern waste, murdering the talking trees?" cried the king, leaping to his feet and drawing his sword. "How dare they, and who dares it? Now by the mane of Aslan." "Ah," gasped the dryad, shuddering as if in pain, shuddering time after time as if under repeated blows. Then all at once she fell sideways as suddenly as if her feet had been cut from under her. For a second they saw her lying dead on the grass, and then she vanished. They knew what had happened. Her tree, miles away, had been cut down. So that passage from The Last Battle, from C.S. Lewis's The Last Battle, the last book in the Chronicles of Narnia, really made me think of the olive trees, or the olive trees made me think of that passage. How important and meaningful they are to Palestinians, how they are a symbol of their unbreakable connection to their land, a land that will never stop being theirs no matter what happens. And this is a message to the colonizers and invaders: you will never have the right to what you stole. I also thought about the spirits of those trees, because yes, I believe trees have spirits. I know they do. Especially when people talk to them and love them, it becomes clear. And they imagine those olive trees, silent, helpless, unable to run away from the invading army. Their oil becomes bloody tears, mourning death and destruction that comes closer and closer to them until it consumes them as well, and nothing is left. A holocaust within a holocaust, one of humans and one of olive trees. So you see why that made me think of Narnia and that particular passage. And then at the end of that book, The Last Battle I'm speaking of, the world ends, but a new, more beautiful and perfect one is born. And let that be a metaphor for this one. I don't want this one to end. I want it to be reborn into a new one of justice, hope, unity, love, solidarity. A world where Victor Jara and Refaat al-Arir would still be alive, where the Salvador Allende's of the world would be leaders and not the Bidens and the Trumps of the world. Or rather, where all the people would be the leaders. A world of all the good and beautiful things that we are capable of. A world where corruption, injustice, and oppression would be unthinkable, a bad memory of a dark past. And I want to know now who will ask for forgiveness. From the living, the dead, the trees, the cats, the buildings, the streets, the soil, the fields, the fabric and thread. So I will start now. Forgive me. I wake up every day wanting it to stop, but I have no power other than that over my own life, my mind, and my prayers. Forgive me because I couldn't protect you, dear, beautiful Gaza. That I couldn't stop this. Forgive me. We should all be asking for forgiveness, even though we aren't entitled to it. Forgive me because we can't stop it in our millions around the world, and somehow we cannot stop it. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, there's a problem with who is in power? We cannot stop it, and we have to live with that. But we can also choose how we put our guilt and sorrow into action, each in our own unique ways. Maybe we can turn that into a new world, the one I just dreamed of a moment ago. And remember, it is the dreamers, or maybe the fools, that Silvio Rodriguez talks about in his song El Necio, that change the world for better. The ones that give us hope we can change this world for better. What we must do is, as Victor Jara says in this next song, march where they were going while singing. Oh,
debajo de la tierra. No estás dormido, hermano, compañero. Tu corazón oye brotar la primavera, que como tú soplando irán los vientos. Ahí enterrado cara al sol, la nueva tierra cubre tu semilla, la raíz profunda se hundirá y nacerá la flor del nuevo día. Y nacerá la flor del nuevo día. A tus pies heridos llegarán las manos del humilde, llegarán sembrando tu muerte, muchas vidas traerá, que hacia donde tú ibas marcharán cantando. Donde se oculta el criminal, tu nombre brinda al rico muchos nombres. El que quemó tus alas al volar no apagará el fuego de los pobres. Aquí, hermano, aquí, sobre la tierra, el alma se nos llena de banderas que avanzan. Aquí, hermano, aquí, sobre la tierra, el alma se nos llena de banderas que avanzan contra el miedo. Avanzan contra el miedo, venceremos, venceremos.
So, you may be wondering, and I was actually wondering when I was coming up with all of this in my mind, where am I going with this? Connections. Connections, that's the point that I was trying to get to. They can be so unexpected, so far away from each other in space and time, but so close. You know, Narnian dryads and Palestinian olive trees, Victor Jara and Refaat Alarir. For those who don't know, Refaat Alarir was murdered by Israel. He was targeted in the house that he was in with his family members, his sister, his brother, four of his nieces was bombed. They were all killed. On December 7th, he has a father of six children. He was a husband, a beloved teacher, scholar, and academic. And he was only 44 years old when he was murdered. And there's another similarity. They were tragically young. Victor Jara was just 40 years old when he was murdered. In fact, it was less than 2 weeks before his 41st birthday when he was killed. And these were two teachers, artists, poets, separated by thousands of miles. Their deaths were separated by 50 years. Their art is different from each other, yet so similar and both so revolutionary. Jihad Abu Salim, a Palestinian writer and former student of Refaat, said of him, his passion was the English language because he didn't teach it as a means of disassociating from society. For Refaat, English was a tool of liberation, a way to break free from Gaza's prolonged siege, a teleportation device that defies Israel's fences and the intellectual, academic, and cultural blockade of Gaza, end quote. Victor, too, understood the power of communication. That communication for Victor came not in the form of the English language, but of music, the universal one. Victor understood and often spoke about the power of communication. He said that the owners of the means of production, especially in his case in the music industry, knew what they were doing when they presented messages that dulled and repressed the rebellion, especially of the youth. He also knew that song was a tool for liberation, that song could galvanize and push people to action, that its role was to tell the truth, to show reality, just as Rifat saw the English language as a tool to overcome borders and blockades. Somehow, these two people, so beloved by their families and friends, students, and all who knew them, created such rage inside of, in Rifat's case, the occupation forces, and in Victor's, upper-class Chileans and the Chilean military. Today, I went through Rifat's Twitter account, crying mostly. I'm still heartbroken over his murder. I won't ever stop mourning him, just as I won't ever stop mourning Victor. And there'll always be some place in my heart. But back to the point. There was this post from November 11th, less than a month before his murder, where he was talking about how people were taking care of stray animals in Gaza. He says, quote, "Everywhere you go in Gaza, you'll find people caring for stray dogs and cats. For this humanity, Israel hates Gaza for its love of life." And again, how similar to Victor Jara. Victor, who said that we exist because of love and we want to be better because of love, and the world turns, creates, and multiplies because love exists. Love was fundamental to Victor and love was fundamental to Rifat. There he was expressing it clearly. Love is fundamental to the Palestinians, yet it is antithetical to the oppressive forces of the illegitimate state of Israel.
Sí, es natural. Yo creo que, bueno, nosotros somos porque existe el amor y queremos que ser mejores porque existe el amor y el mundo gira, bueno, crea, se multiplica porque existe el amor. Nosotros, a los que nos dicen cantantes de protesta, empezando, yo no estoy de acuerdo con ese término porque no considero que es un término válido, por lo menos para mí. Creemos que el amor es lo fundamental. El amor y la relación del amor de hombre con una mujer con un hombre, o del hombre con su semejante, con sus hijos, con su hogar, con la patria, con el instrumento que trabaja, es vital, es la esencia de la razón de ser del hombre. Por eso que, bueno, no puede estar ausente de la temática de...
That, of course, was Victor Jara's voice. How similar indeed, because both Israel and the military and its supporters in Chile both hated love, and tried to destroy it. And by killing these men, Rifat and Victor, they thought that maybe they could destroy that love. But they didn't realize was that love will always exist. Killing a man makes no difference. By killing them, both Victor and Rifat were made into immortal stars that will always shine on. Another similarity that is haunting is that they both saw death coming towards them. Victor wrote Manifiesto, which we heard earlier. Song makes sense when it pulses through the veins of one who will die singing the truth, he writes. And in Vientos del Pueblo, also written shortly before his murder, he writes, "Winds of the people are calling me. Winds of the people carry me. They scatter my heart and they take the breath from my throat. So the people will sing as long as my soul sounds from the roads of my people now and forever."
De nuevo quieren manchar mi tierra con sangre obrera, los que hablan de libertad y tienen las manos negras, los que quieren dividir a la madre de sus hijos y quieren reconstruir la cruz que arrastrará a Cristo. Quieren ocultar la infamia que legaron desde siglos, pero el color de asesinos no borrarán de su cara, ya fueron miles y miles los que entregaron su sangre y en caudales generosos multiplicaron los panes. Ahora quiero vivir junto a mi hijo y mi hermano la primavera que todos vamos construyendo a diario. No me asusta la amenaza, patrones de la miseria. La estrella de la esperanza continuará siendo nuestra. Vientos del pueblo me llaman, vientos del pueblo me llevan, me esparcen el corazón y me aventan la garganta, así cantar al poeta, mientras el alma me suene por los caminos del pueblo, desde ahora y para siempre.
And of course, Victor wrote Estadio Chile, Canto que mal me sales, the day he was murdered. He writes, we are 5,000 here in this little part of the city. We are 5,000. How many more will there be in the whole city and in the country? Just here, 10,000 hands which could seed the fields, make run the factories. How much humanity now with hunger, pain, panic, and terror. 6 of us lost in space among the stars, one dead, one beaten like I never believed a human could be beaten. The other 4 wanting to leave all the terror, one leaping into space, another beating his head against the wall, all with gazes fixed on death. How terrible is the face of fascism. The military carry out their plans with precision. They care about nothing. Blood is medals for them. Slaughter is the badge of their heroism. Oh my God, is this the world that you created? Was it for this, the 7 days of amazement and toil? In these walls, there exists only a number that doesn't progress and that will slowly desire more death. But soon conscience hits me and I see this tide without a beat and I see the pulses of the machines and Mexico, Cuba, and the world. Let them scream and denounce this atrocity. We are 10,000 hands less that can make nothing. How many are we in the country? The blood of compañero presidente is stronger than bombs, is stronger than machine guns, so our fist will strike again. Oh, song, how badly you come out when I must sing about terror. Terror like the one I am living, like the one I am dying. Horror to see myself among so many moments of infinity, where silence and screaming are the end of my song. What I am seeing, I've never seen before. What I felt and what I am feeling will give birth to the moment. And it never fails, but I'm always left thinking at the end of that, I'm always left wondering what moment will it give birth to. Did Victor mean to write another line after that? What would that line have been? I always think of that when that, at the end of Estadio Chile, of Canto que mal me sales. And Refat's last poem, the last poem he published before his death, If I Must Die, in some way I feel that if you just switched around the poems, they would still apply to each other, but I'll read If I Must Die. If I must die, you must live, to tell my story, to sell my things, to buy a piece of cloth and some strings, make it white with a long tail, so that a child somewhere in Gaza, while looking heaven in the eye, awaiting his dad who left in a blaze, and bid no one farewell, not even to his flesh, not even to himself, sees the kite My kite you made flying up over, and thinks for a moment an angel is here, bringing back light, love. If I must die, let it bring hope. Let it be a tale. And yes, those last poems are very different, but I've said this before. What Victor described in Estadio Chile is exactly what is happening to Gaza. Victor described 5,000 people, 10,000 hands, but in Gaza, we're talking about 2.3 million people not held in a stadium, but simply in a concentration camp. What is quickly becoming a death camp. They're cold, scared, hungry, and hurt, just as Victor was. Victor captures in that song sheer violence and horror, and it is the horror of fascism. And Israel, make no mistake, is a fascist state. And as for If I Must Die, I can clearly see that poem applying to Victor, because Victor, to me, as well as Rifat, are symbols of hope. And I'm sure we can clearly see that Rifat wanted his death to bring hope. And I am sure Victor would have wanted that as well. In a strange way, it also reminds me of Salvador Allende's last speech, where he says that the people must not be riddled with bullets. He's asking the people not to sacrifice themselves for him, but they must also not be humiliated. And that also kind of comes into my head right now when I think of that, because even in those last moments, even in his last speech, as La Moneda was being bombed around him, he was still able to put forward a message of hope. And he says, the most powerful part to me was when he said, the seeds that we have planted will not remain shriveled forever. And this really just comes into my mind here because, like I'm saying, the connections are just so powerful. And then there is resistance. The resistance they both showed, even in the face of such demonic violence. Before Victor was murdered, he sang in defiance. The hymn, the theme of Unidad Popular and Salvador Allende's presidency. Venceremos. We will triumph, as his murderers taunted him, saying, sing now, you bastard. And Rifat also resisted. Just listen to what he says here in this last interview that he did before he was murdered.
It's very bleak. It's very dark. There's no way out. If there's no water, there is no way out of Gaza. What should we do? Like, drown? Like, commit mass suicide? Is this what Israel wants? And we're not going to do that. And I was telling some friend the other day that I'm an academic. Probably the toughest thing I have at home is an Expo marker. But if the Israelis invade, if they target us, charge at us, open door to door to massacre us, I'm going to use that marker, throw it at the Israeli soldiers, even if that is the last thing that I would be able to do. And this is the feeling of everybody. We are helpless. We have nothing to lose.
And that explosion that you hear at the end is actually during the interview. And you can watch the video. And what I will say is that it completely broke my heart to see the expression that is on his face during that interview. Yet you can just, it's not describable. You just have to see it, but you can almost hear it through the recording. Yet despite that, despite the fact that you can hear the tears in his voice, Rifat refused to be humiliated and defeated. No matter how horrific the threats and how violent the people he was speaking out against were, Victor and Rifat both refused to be humiliated and destroyed. But in the end, all they really wanted for themselves, their people, and for all of humanity was justice and el derecho de vivir en paz.
El derecho de vivir, poeta Ho Chi Minh, que golpea de Vietnam a toda la humanidad, ningún cañón borrará el surco de tu arrozal, el derecho de en paz. Indochina
más allá del ancho mar, donde revientan la flor con genocidio y napalm. La luna es una explosión que funde todo el clamor, el derecho de vivir en paz. La luna es una explosión que funde todo el clamor, el derecho de vivir en paz. Dio por nuestra canción, es fuego de puro amor, es palomo, palomar.
Memory of Rifat that we should have, and the one that I want to give you now. Let us hear Rifat not with the sounds of bombs and death around him, not with tears in his voice, but in better times. Rifat was a professor and a teacher. That's how he should be remembered. And this recording also reminds me of Victor, who so emphasized the role of regular people in making history, media, and culture. That was just so important to him as it was to Rifat.
What Said says, history is made by men and women. And I love the fact that he refers to this, the fact that this is something made by women and men, not leaders, not politicians, not the elite. Because the history, the oral history for us Palestinians belongs to you, to me, to our mom, to our dad, to our grandparents, to your parents and to your grandparents. Because the oral history should always belong to the people, should shape politics, not the other way around. History is made by men and women, just as it can also be unmade and unwritten in case we just leave it and keep silent.
And now, going back to the very first song we heard, Manifiesto, what amazes me is that everything I talked about today connects back to that song. Every part of what I've talked about, if you look at the lyrics of Manifiesto, everything that I have spoken of today connects right back to that song in the beginning. That is what just never ceases to amaze me about Victor Jara. It's like you can go so many places with your thoughts. You can make so many connections, and yet it still connects right back in a clear way to his songs. Mi gente, I want you to remember something. A line from a song that I played earlier. La estrella de la esperanza continuará siendo nuestra. The star of hope will continue to be ours. And we cannot let them take that away from us. It belongs to us. Even when they take everything, they cannot take away the star of hope inside all of us. And Victor was right. It is our star, and we can keep it burning or not. And Refat was right when he asked for his death to bring hope, to be a tale. And it is up to us to make his death, to make this terrible injustice into hope. And let neither of their deaths be in vain. And sometimes we need to keep that star burning inside of us even brighter, because we need to share it. In Gaza, so many don't have the energy to keep it burning. So we must keep our hope burning bright for them. And I know it's not easy. I fall into fatalism a lot. But then I have to remember Victor's words again. This time from his last song. Pero de pronto me golpea la conciencia y veo esta marea sin latido, pero con el pulso de las máquinas. But suddenly, my conscience awakes and I see that this tide has no heartbeat, only the pulse of machines. What is happening right now is antithetical to life. Okay, it only seeks destruction. How can we let destruction and hatred destroy hope and love and joy and justice in this world? The answer is, we cannot. It is not easy, but we move forward. El pueblo unido jamás será vencido. And there's so much more that I'd love to share about Refat, so many more of his poems that I'd love to read, and I will do that in the future. But for now, I dedicate this small work, this what I've done here today, to him and to Victor forever. They will always live on. They will always shine on forever as the immortal stars that they are. And we hold them in our hearts forever. I'd like to end off, though. Refat's last poem, If I Must Die, is really dedicated to children because they always suffer so much. And they're suffering so much in Gaza right now. So this is a song for the children of Gaza, for all of them. Al Jazeera reported today that 1 million Gazan children are going to need mental health support. So this is for them, about the suffering and the resilience of children, and about their joy and imagination even in the worst circumstances. There are many children like Luchin in Gaza. Abramos todas las jaulas para que vuelan como pájaros. As Victor says, open all the cages so they can fly like birds. Con mucho, mucho cariño, keep dancing, keep on in your ancestors, never stop affirming for the right to live in peace. Ciao, mi gente.
Naranjita, naranjita, porque llora, porque tengo que... Ah, no se pasa mi novio, no me quiso dar los pañuelos de mi novio, no se la van a coger, se la van a buscar de sangre de mi corazón.
Frágil como un volantín en los techos de barrancas jugaba el niño Luchín con sus manitos moradas con la pelota de trapo con el gato y con el perro. El caballo lo miraba. En el agua de sus ojos se bañaba el verde claro. Gateaba su corta edad con el potito embarrado, con la pelota de trapo. con el gato y con el perro. El caballo lo miraba. Caballo era otro juego en aquel pequeño espacio, y al animal parecía le gustaba ese trabajo con la pelota de trapo, con el gato y con el perro. Y con Luchito mojado, si hay niños como Luchín, que comen tierra y gusanos, abramos todas las jaulas pa' que vuelen como pájaros, con la pelota de trapo. Con el gato y con el perro, y también con el caballo.